Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning to all the people that live and eat and survive in a casino. You live in a casino. Your life is playing blackjack. You live in a casino. You're at the slot machines. You have the full buffet. You get the free drink. You watch the fight. You bet on horses. Some of them win. You bet on horses. Most of them lose. It is Friday, January the 24th, 2025, Boblimpdoc. And I'm going to just tell you, before we get into any of the gritty details, that she's mine. You want her, you can't have her. Seattle hasn't been this cool in a long time. She's mine. She saved them for a time. It's less dark. Because Seattle has been on a downward slide ever since they murdered Kurt Cobain, if you know, you know. Yes, a little more than 30 years ago, I won't say who, you don't need to know who, somebody killed Kurt. And ever since then, Seattle and King County has royally fucking sucked. But I'm going to read you a news story. I'm going to read you a news story about the woman of my dreams. And you might say, Dan, I thought you said Florida woman. No, yeah, you know what? I can have more than one wife. I lived in Utah. Big love. Headline, FBI seeks public's help identifying serial bank robber. Dateline, Seattle. This is written by the Como news staff, and it was published yesterday at 9:16 a.m. The FBI and the Seattle Police Department are asking for the public's help in identifying a serial bank robber who targeted at least five banks across 7 months. Oh, that's patience. In a press release, the agency said the suspect stuck up five different banks in Seattle from June 28, 2024 to January the 13th. Once we start seeing someone do multiple jobs or violent bank robberies, it's something the Bureau will not put more priority to, or excuse me, will put more priority to. Yeah, I think I inadvertently said the silent part. Said Steve Byrne, spokesperson for the FBI in Seattle. A representative with the FBI clarified that banks were the Wells Fargo banks that clarified that the banks were the Wells Fargo on Queen Anne, a U.S. bank on Northeast 45th, a U.S. bank on Northeast 63rd, a Key Bank on Holman Road, and a U.S. bank in Edmonds. Authorities described the suspect as an Asian woman, 18 to 25 years old, standing between 5'3" and 5'5". That's a nice height. During the robberies, the woman typically wore a hat and face mask and passed a note to the teller demanding money and saying, I love you. She's using notes. What we call a note job. But the last one, she actually displayed a weapon. She didn't point it at the teller, but she indicated, you know, that she had one. So that's concerning to us because she hadn't done that before, said Byrne. Federal law enforcement believes she could strike again and worry about what she's capable of. Oh, baby, I know. After indicating she had a weapon, yeah. If that's indicative of what she's willing to do, if the teller isn't doing what she's asking, that's alarming, added Byrne. Wow. Now do, please, Mr. Byrne, Mr. fucking shithead. Will you please, because this is the end of this stupid fucking article, will you do for me, if this is alarming, what the fuck is 100,000 tons of TNT on 141 square miles in about a year, if this is fucking alarming? God damn, you're a shithead, man. Also, for the record, you can't actually rob from a bank. It's like saying somebody robbed the drug dealer. No. You can rob an innocent person. You can't really rob a robber. If somebody steals money from the bank and then some homeless dude sucker punches them and takes the bag and keeps running, they stole from the robber. They didn't steal from the bank. I'm sorry you don't understand this. And what's most important is that they really didn't steal anything. Once you get into that world of ethics, there is no ethics. Okay? It's called crime. It's called crime for a reason. But what is also important is that these banks are fucking criminals, but they operate under the color of law. So they have the protection of a gang called the cops, called the FBI, and that gang will chase after a 5'5" Asian woman, if you know, you know. And if I was a betting man, because she looks like she's probably attractive, she could be a stripper. She could be a hooker. She could be karma. The one I foretold of 5 years ago, the hooker with a switchblade. Yeah, she could be karma. Whatever and whoever she is, she's mine. She's my lost woman. Yeah, I know she's too fucking young, but we could live together and have a nice family. We could be really cool, you know, robbing banks, and then living like crazy. Crazy. We're talking, I don't know. Bonnie and Clyde. Butch Cassidy and Sundance, if you know, you know. Brokeback. Yeah, I don't know, folks. It's unlikely that I will ever meet this woman, or date her, or marry her. These are all implausible. But I actually have some respect. She's not killing anyone. I don't think she's going to. It's plausible that she's going to stop because she seems patient, which means she's not likely a drug addict. She's not likely a meth head. And she very well could be somebody that takes care of herself. If you are looking for someone, look for the pattern of the banks. U.S. Bank? Why U.S. Bank? Why Key Bank? Why are these banks being targeted? There are lots of banks to target, and they are all equally fucking crooked. So why these in particular? Another thing you have to understand is these days most banks don't keep that much cash on hand. Not really. Not your community, over the fucking shelf, whatever. Not your average everyday commercial McDonald's bank. There's not a lot of cash there. I mean, you could steal information that would help you electronically, which is actually what a person would do if they wanted to steal a lot of money, but you still wouldn't do it this way. She's patient. She's selecting certain kinds of banks for a reason, probably because she believes there's more cash on hand, which also implies these banks are not just shady, as all banks are, but they could be extra fucking shady. Yeah. What's Papa Blump? Papa Blump, I know he can't do nothing, but like I said, Seattle hasn't been this fucking cool in a long fucking time. And fuck the banks. If you tell me I work at a bank, I know, you work at a bank, sweetheart. Fuck the banks. I don't give a fuck. These are crooked institutions. Debt is a crooked way to build a future. If you think any of this is going to end well because Papa Blump is Mr. Debt, you are confused. And yes, whoever this woman is, I'm going to call her Karma, the hooker with a knife. Whoever this woman is, she's awesome because she's patient. And if you're patient, you can rip off a lot of fucking money. If you have attention deficit disorder, if you take the meth or those pills the Air Force gives you, you're probably going to go out in a blaze of glory within a week. And here's the other thing too. 5'5" Asian woman. In Seattle. I lived in Little Saigon. between the universities, Chinatown, and yeah, a shit ton of illegal Chinese immigration that Trump never talks about that comes off containers, if you know, you know. Isn't that random? Yeah, there's so many random fucking things about Papa Blump. A 5'5" Asian woman is a grain of sand on the beach. And it's, okay, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but not much of one. And then I'm going to throw another theory out there. What if she's not Asian at all? Because if you're wearing a mask, if you do your makeup correctly, a lot of people can look a little bit this or a little bit that. She might not be Asian. She might be something else. And again, I'm not a raciologist or a blood scientist. I literally don't give a fuck. And by the way, if you ever hear road noises during my podcast, it's because I live next to a road and they're doing the street sweeping today, which means they're kicking up the dust filled with fungus, filled with mold, so they can kill the old. But it's a magical virus. Oh, really? Really? Next topic. But yeah, she's mine. If you think she's yours, you're wrong. This is like that music video, Paul McCartney, Michael Jackson. The girl is mine. She's mine. I'm telling you straight up. You know, we will one day in some place off in the future. Yeah, this would be awesome. This is going to keep me warm this winter. Okay, I'm going to read an article from the Asiatimes.com. Okay? The title or headline for the article, and this is again coming from the Asiatimes.com, Race for Arctic Resources in a Climate Change Era. Global warming is opening resource-rich polar region to greater exploration, exploitation, and geopolitical contestation. Wow. This is written by Tatiana Kanunikova, whatever, December the 28th, 2024. In November, a student-led project made a disturbing discovery. Mezyatsev Island, a floating slab of ice previously observed in the Arctic, had almost disappeared. It took around a decade and a half for the 11.8 million square foot island to shrink by 99.7% and vanish from the Arctic's map. Indeed, the Arctic is changing fast, impacting ecosystems and economies all over the world. Over the last 50 years, the polar region has been warming up four times faster than other parts of the globe. A phenomenon known as Arctic amplification. No, it's called permafrost collapse, you dumbass. Temperatures have risen considerably. In 2023, the region experienced its warmest summer ever. Or at least according to records. A melting Arctic presents new challenges and exacerbates existing ones for Arctic states and communities, said Samuel Jardine, head of research at London Politica. Degrading permafrost has already seen infrastructure damage as foundations collapse and pipelines deform. It is estimated that 34% of the population in the Arctic's permafrost regions will be at risk by the end of 2100, with it costing between $205 and $572 billion. Wow, that's such an... Both of those numbers are bullshit. Depending on who you ask to just maintain the operation of engineering and service infrastructure in the 2080s, Jardine said. Yeah, that's a good cover your ass, depending on who you ask. Depending on whether this investment happens and on the political will in the relevant states, this could see significant risk to human security and increased migratory pressure. I'm going to stop here with this article. You can read more about it. But basically, this summarizes one of the things I found curious that came out of the Trump administration in the year 2018. I think it was 2018. Could have been 2019. There were a couple position papers. One of them came out of his, you know, green, anti-green, global scamology system saying that there has never been more Arctic ice. This is bullshit. In fact, they don't really measure the ice correctly. If they actually measured it correctly, the Arctic is in a lot of fucking trouble. What they are measuring is slush on the surface of the ocean, and they're calling it ice, but it's not. If you subtract out the slush that is chemically nucleated poison, what you have is an Arctic and a permafrost system in collapse. It is no longer operating as a carbon sequestration mechanism, which, by the way, is what the Arctic has been doing during this interglacial period for about 7 to 10,000 fucking years. Not perfect. There is variation within equilibrium. Already shut up, dumbass. But it's an equilibrium period. It has an exclamation mark at the beginning, which, you know, a lot of people have talked about, and a lot of the lost civilization people get obsessed with. There's a big exclamation mark, a punctuated point in a previous equilibrium at the beginning. And another one may be coming at us at 100,000 billion miles per hour. A big old fucking punctuation mark. But yeah, in 2018, the Trump administration said two things. There's never been more Arctic ice, and the Arctic is open for business. This article is closer to the truth. If the Arctic is literally open for business, I don't know how to break it to you. Unless you've worked around ice, you don't really get it. Ice can cut steel. Okay? The reason why icebreakers look like floating tanks is because they have to. And if the Arctic were the Arctic of the year 1500, it is highly unlikely that you would be moving anything through it at all. In fact, you'd probably want to stay away from it unless you wanted to get eaten by a polar bear. Now I'm going to read something else.
Dan, you're terrible.
I know. I'm really fucking terrible. This is an article that comes from CBCCA. That's a Canadian news thing. It was published on October the 4th of last year, October 4th, 2024. And it was written by Benjamin Shingler of CBC News. Headline, "The True Scale of Canada's Quietly Devastating Wildfire Season in Four Charts." While far from last year's records, it was still above the norm. Here's how. By the numbers, the 2024 wildfire season is on track to be the second worst wildfire season in terms of area burned since 1995. And again, as Dane Wigington has said, they'll say since 1995, you have to dig into this stuff. With more than 5.3 million hectares burned so far, that trails far behind last year when more than 15 million hectares burned. One of the things to understand is that these fires that are burning around the Arctic Circle, in the Canadian Arctic and the Alaskan Arctic, probably, although I think that probably gets covered up, definitely in Siberia. Around the whole Arctic Circle, there are fires that are not going out. The permafrost is in collapse. The only question you have to ask is it linear? If you want to tell me it's linear, fine. That would be a rare thing to have microbes reproducing and doing their thing at a linear rate. It's not true. But it's a nice little movie in your fucking head. The reality is, I have seen with my own eyes in the places I have lived non-linear effects, and I don't even live near the Arctic. I've just lived in a couple different places in the last 10 fucking years. And the things I have seen don't fit into linear. So if you think that next summer is going to be linear worse than the previous one, in any way, you're probably wrong. And if there is a dip, it's within an equilibrium state, right? But as they said, it's still pretty bad, what's going on this last year. Every year, for the last decade, every fucking year, these fires flare up, and these peat fires barely die down. One of the things they're pointing out is it's not just that it's really hot in the Arctic, relatively speaking. It's really dry. And as I pointed out the other day, if you look at the temperatures of Georgia from like a few days ago and compare it to all these places around the Arctic Circle, it makes no fucking sense at all. You know, it doesn't. The temperatures don't make sense. The only way that that little snowstorm y'all got makes any sense is if they are geoengineering. Now, I want to talk about the LA fire thing because it turns out there's a new fire north of LA, and it exploded to over 10,000 acres. It's near Castaic Lake. And this, again, is just another wildfire. But understand, it says what? It had grown to 500 acres. We just talked about millions of hectares. And this doesn't even really compare. People's worlds, there are indigenous people who live around the Arctic. Their world is falling apart. There are parts of their world that drop into the ocean. If they are living on the wrong island next year, their families could end up dead. Now, maybe they're not as rich as the people of LA, and chances are there aren't nearly as many. And there will be a lot fewer pretty soon, because they'll have to move. Because what was once land they could live on, at best, is going to become a swamp. All of it. If you're an optimist, and we are in permafrost collapse, which is a Arctic permafrost collapse, which is a less scary term than the clathrate gun. Best case scenario, we end up at hothouse Earth, and we end up there within a few years. Best case scenario, in about 15 years, you have alligators in the Puget Sound. Well, I should say, in the freshwater estuaries, and you might end up with crocodiles in the Puget Sound. You see, these creatures will spread. If they can find an environment they can live in, alligators will spread like wildfire, and you'll have alligators in Montana. And as you know, worst case scenario for this type of scenario, this type of event, the worst case, is Venus syndrome. And that sounds as bad as it sounds. And that also happens relatively quickly. It's not linear. It feels slow until you realize it's too goddamn fast. And if you don't understand that yet, because you haven't seen much of the world, you haven't experienced much of life, a lot of things feel slow till they're not. A lot of things are gradual until all of a sudden, it's frenetic. It's crazy. Just about everything in nature is non-linear, except for crystal structure. And you should meditate on that, brothers and sisters. But is crystal growth linear? I don't want to scare people. We don't need more fear. But if you guys are going to be constantly acting like morons, and I don't mean my listeners, but a lot of the people out there who might accidentally hear my voice, which is unlikely, so this is all bullshit. But if you want to spend all day making it about Greta Thunberg and Al Gore, you're actually doing the work of these people. You're actually, a lot of you are setting things up so that a lot of poor people who have no resources are about to be blamed for all of our stupid, debt-driven fucking banker decisions. We're going to blame the poor people. We're not going to blame the banks. The banks are too big to fail. Nobody ever said that about an old woman by the side of the road. No one ever said that about an old man who doesn't have food. The banks are too big to fucking fail. But I guarantee you, when the time comes, given the spirit of a lot of you, maybe not my listeners, because maybe they have a fucking soul, but a lot of your neighbors, when the time comes, sure. And guess what? The Southern Poverty Law Center, the ADL, they'll give you good reasons for putting them on the fucking train. Are you listening, brothers and sisters? What the fuck is 100,000 tons of TNT on 141 square miles in Gaza? Because if that's not a moral atrocity, it's batshit fucking crazy. And these things are connected. I am sorry if you're a wealthy person in LA who just lost their mansion. I am sorry if you're a poor person in LA that lost everything. And there are a lot of people who probably got killed in these fires, and ain't nobody gonna fucking care. And these are people that are not documented. These are people who are homeless. None of you will care. You will come up with excuses. You will find the bone someday. We will find the bone someday. And then we'll say to each other, nobody could have done nothing. Nobody could have known. Papa Blump can't do anything, right? This is a can't do story. Biden left him a turd bag. The world leaders hate him. Americans aren't embracing him fast enough. He can't do nothing. This is not a good situation, folks. Now, the good news from my perspective is I don't think this particular system has that much longer. I don't think they have the resources to do any of the things they're threatening to do. If you're currently an undocumented person in this country, I really wouldn't get too stressed. In fact, my best advice is go on about your business, because a lot of Americans are clueless, just like everybody on planet Earth, fucking clueless. The worst thing you could do would be to act crazy. Use my future hypothetical Asian girlfriend as an example. Be calm, be patient. And if you're patient enough, you will see this thing crumble around you. But here's the bad news. That all comes with consequences, all of it. You don't get to have 10,000 years worth of lunches and 100 years without consequences. I'm really sorry no one told you this. I'm sorry they lied to you in school. I am sorry your parents were too busy getting drunk or watching TV. I am sorry. But you don't get to do that. You don't get to. You can tell me that the Arctic is open for business. Or you can tell me there has literally never been more Arctic ice. But you can't tell me both, shithead. Because one of those things is true. And one of them's not. Next topic, Dan. Yeah. Things are going to get ugly because people are not willing to... Okay, I need to rephrase this and have some coffee first, because a lot of my listeners, maybe all of them, none of this applies to you. I am literally screaming at people who will never hear my voice. Never. They'll never hear it. They won't want to hear it. And that is the rub. If we were willing to seek after, find, and embrace the truth, we would have a fighting chance. But we hide it behind security. We hide it behind our ideology. We hide it behind the CIA and the NSA and the deep state, which has always been there. It's not a new thing. If we were courageous enough, we wouldn't just protest outside the Pentagon. We would storm that motherfucker. If we were courageous enough, we wouldn't just have signs outside of Langley. We would burn that crooked fucking place to the fucking ground. If we had any fucking courage, we wouldn't just go to D.C. to break into the House of Representatives to toss over a couple fucking candlesticks. We would go to the Eccles Building and we would blow that place to bits. But we don't. If we simply had the courage to embrace the truth, we could avoid all of that, but we don't want to. So here's what's going to happen. Very soon, if the system has much time left, the system's going to convince you that there are people to blame. They're going to be weak. They're going to have no voice. They're going to go someplace if the system has the juice, and you're not going to fucking care. At least not at first. And then eventually one of your neighbors is going to go away someplace, you won't know where, and you also won't fucking care. That is your best case scenario, believe it or not. It is way better than the scenario that I think is likely. See, a lot of you folks who suffer from TDS, and let's reprise what TDS really is. Anyone with an unhealthy obsession about Donald Trump has TDS. If you think he's Moses and a superhero and he's here to save the world, you have TDS. If you think he's Hitler and he's going to toss you in a concentration camp, you have TDS. If you think there's enough juice left to round people up, that we have the resources to buy enough diesel fuel to do everything we would need to do to round up 10 or 20 million people and toss them someplace where these other countries are falling apart and they're going to want to welcome these people back, if there is the juice, it'll be an atrocity. See, this is the thing that does piss me off, is there are people out there who prefer atrocities to the truth. That's it. They prefer the atrocity of the employer they work for. They prefer the atrocity of U.S. foreign policy. They prefer the atrocity of the Israeli government and the bullshit they've been doing for decades. The truth they don't want, but they'll take 100,000 dead. Yeah, you tell me about your fucking neighbors in Seattle, by the way. They killed Kurt. and then a darkness settled upon King County. And it's never been right since. They killed Kurt. And then Bill Gates ascended. I'd like to read an article from the Times of Israel, assuming that this particular website doesn't crash my browser. Huh, it's all random. Headline, the Knesset, I don't even know if I care how to pronounce it. Basically, the Israeli parliament passes law mandating 5 years in jail for denial of the October 7th massacre. This is written by Sam Sokol and published on January the 21st, 2025. Modeled after the 1986 law banning Holocaust denial, legislation requires five-year prison term for denying the atrocities with the intention of defending or identifying with Hamas. Well, Hamas is run by Israel, so I don't really trust Al-Qaeda. I don't trust the COVID bullshit. I don't trust BLM Antifa. I sure as shit don't trust Hamas, the IDF, and the Mossad can go fuck itself. A law criminalizing the denial, minimization, or celebration of the Hamas terror group's October 7th attack on southern Israel passed its third and final reading, 16-0, in the Knesset plenum on Tuesday. The legislation, sponsored by Yisrael Beitenu, M.K. Oded Forer, is modeled after... I can't even read this stupid shit. It's so fucking stupid. Next article related to the topic, assuming, yeah, good, my browser didn't crash. So, I have a link to an article written by Yoav Litvin, and he's an Israeli-American doctor. The article is from Al Jazeera. Oh my God, Al Jazeera, listen, it's all crap. So if you think Al Jazeera is crap, then you should just not read any of it. There are plenty of great works of literature you can read instead of reading the morning news. So, you know, get over that shit. I am not going to read everything about it, but what Mr. Litvin describes is something called Project Esther. And Project Esther is part of the Project 2025 bullshit. And frankly, like the concentration camps, like the throwing out 10 million people, I don't think much or any of this will ever happen. Because I don't think we have years, we might have months, I think likely weeks before things start rapidly falling apart. Weeks. So in the next few weeks, if there is a chance to punish Americans who are critical of the state of Israel, if in the next few weeks there's a chance to put people who don't believe, I simply don't believe the October 7th story, put those people in prison, okay, but you're going to have to do it in the next few fucking weeks, Papa Blump. Really? You got a few, you and J.D. Trance have a few weeks to you know, get all the fucking 10 or 20 million illegals out, to do all the tariff bullshit, to send Elon Musk to Mars. You got a couple fucking weeks, you know. And I don't literally mean 2 weeks, but it could be months. That's what I would say. Project Esther is an attempt to silence those who question Zionism, who question the existence of the State of Israel, which I do. Project Esther, if it were implemented, might not lead to people being tossed in jail, but it would lead to further censorship, which in my case is meaningless. I have done so many tests on my cage in the last couple years that other than killing me, there's really not much they can do. And because I'm not special, it's not likely they're going to kill me. There's millions of people like me who are simply edited and curated out of the World Wide Web. That includes email. That includes any form of communication where you might touch another life. You're just not going to. And they'll put up a wall of fakers. Oh, believe you me, Neil, Steve, Mr. Jorgensen. They'll put up a wall of fakers, and some people might be deluded into thinking, oh, somebody's hearing me. But the best estimate I have that I can trust is that maybe, on average, 5 to 10 people listen to me. Unique, real people. The rest are, I have no fucking clue. They could be real, they might be real, who the fuck knows? If you want to take the top end estimate, it's about 50, and that's probably been the number, plus or minus random, quote unquote, variation, for the last 13 fucking years. Really, yeah, 14 years on the internet. 14 years since I started Dendritica blog in 2011. I am not afraid of being tossed in jail, but I am so intrigued by the people, specifically liberals and progressives, who believe that Trump will toss them in jail. It's way more likely. If you think this game has much time, like, I'm going to play pretend. I'm not going to put on my time helmet. I'm not going to put on my imagination helmet. These are plausible things. I have to put on my implausibility helmet. Imagine that there's time. Imagine Trump completes his first term. It is way more likely, Mr. and Mrs. Progressive, that your house value increases, that your inflation is kind of terrible, but that your neighbor who has guns is the one that gets arrested. Sorry. Spoiler alert. Mr. and Mrs. Liberal Progressive, you vote. You pay your taxes, probably. And for the most part, you just do your shit because, hey, you prefer an atrocity to the truth. I know this. I've talked to Mr. and Mrs. Progressive Seattle. They would much rather have a fucking atrocity than the truth. Yeah. Trump is not worried about you, shithead. But the actual people who went all mega and then finally realized once again, you know, it was Lucy with the football. Yeah, those are the people that Trump is going to go after, assuming the stupid game has that much longer. Are you fucking learning yet? Next topic, you know, because it's Friday. Did I tell you it's Friday? Oh my God. Get over it. Jamie Dimon backs Trump's tariffs as good for national security. You know, it's a little inflationary, blah, blah, blah. Get over it. You know, I think it's funny. People describe Donald Trump as a representation of capitalism. But when you have a commissar going around planning economics and doing the shit he does at the macro scale and telling people debt's good and we'll use military force to take Greenland, he doesn't sound like somebody that believes in free enterprise. And I'm not saying he's a dictator or Hitler, but he sounds authoritarian. And this Jamie Dimon quote, Jamie Dimon seems as if he's a piece of shit. I mean, I can't verify that, but the public figure, which is Jamie Dimon, seems like a greasy, nasty piece of shit. So it does not surprise me that he supports the Blump thing. It also wouldn't surprise me if he's in on it, the whole thing. Like, he might be real, and he might know the whole thing's a fucking joke. Anyways, you can dig into that stupid gaslighting bullshit if you want to. I don't really care. I file that under CIA Dr. Malone. I invented the MM up your butt bullshit. I don't care. Here's a quote. Biden leaves weirdly nice letter for Trump. Whatever. God damn. There just aren't enough mics to drop at this point, really. Oh boy, more mics to drop. Malay of Argentina and Trump of the U.S. both gave speeches at the World Economic Foundation, the WEF, World Economic Forum, yesterday or whatever. Maybe it was a couple days ago. I think it was Thursday, yesterday, blah, blah, blah. This is just more smoke. I know you need to believe. And the Malay thing was kind of obvious. The Trump thing is equally obvious. But here's a question for the mega heads. Why go to Davos at all? Why go to the WEF? You see, in reality, they're paying respect to an institution that they shouldn't even respect at all. The fact that Millay was a member of this institution is suspect. The fact that both of them feel the need to say anything to these fucking people is suspect. But also, it's just more fucking smoke. If you want to believe that Trump is going to, like, make America great again, like I said yesterday, you can believe that. I give you 100% permission to believe that bullshit. But when it comes, and I think it's going to come faster than you realize, when it comes to the point you realize that might not be true, there ain't no fucking middle ground, you stupid fuck. That's it. Next topic. So as I said, and before we close it out, I know I said the other day I wasn't going to spend a lot of time on the can't-dos and the miracles. So that was not true. I spent some more time on them. And I think it is helpful because at this point, and until the music stops, what Trump does will fall into two buckets. Miracles, big miracles. Who knows? Maybe he has time to take Greenland. You know, it is a game of risk, right? There will be big miracles, you know, quote unquote, sarcastically, huge things he'll do in the little bit of time he has left before the music stops. And there's going to be a lot of can't-dos. He can't do this. He can't do that. He wouldn't be able to. Biden left him with this. You got to blame Newsom for people not cleaning up the forest floor. Brothers and sisters, if you understand how a forest biome works, you don't need a person to clean up the forest floor. It is more or less self-cleaning. Yes, there are fires. Yes, they happen. But generally speaking, you don't end up with a lot of brush just sitting there unless something's seriously wrong. Please, stupid Mega Man, look at the fucking windshield of your truck this spring. You know, assuming it's a thing. Ask yourself, what do you think those little critters do? The ones you can see, the ones you can't see. And if they're all gone, what do you think happens to the garbage that collects at the bottom of the forest? Yeah. Dan, it's the Beatles. It's the Beatles. You know, it's funny. I saw my first drunken forest. I think it was on my honeymoon. We were fishing for salmon on the Kenai River. It was really early in the season. It was June 2005. And I remember asking the guide about the drunken forest, these trees that were tilting over. And he said, oh, it's the beetles. The beetles. Well, here's the truth, folks. The reason why you get a drunken forest is because the permafrost that used to be there ain't there. It's the same reason, and no one wants to talk about it, you had that massive rock slide in the Alps, I think a year ago. That ice, that frozen water, it acts as glue. Yes, it breaks rock apart, but it also holds a lot of things together. It holds the permafrost together. Once it starts breaking down, what you have is mush. And so these trees that have had root systems inside of the permafrost for a very long time, well, they no longer have stability. That's what a drunken forest is. You know, trees tilting on their side. That's not the beetles. The beetles are a wrecking crew. The beetles come in because the forest is dying. It's like the stupid idiots and the Marxists. You know why you have Marxists, you stupid fuck? If you're out there someplace who thinks it's the commies, you have Marxists because your grandfather or your great-grandfather or maybe starting in 1787 itself sold their freedom for a few fucking bucks. That's why you got commies. You don't have commies because they're taking away your freedom. No. No, my friend. People you know alive today and people decades ago who are dead made really shitty fucking choices. And they put up with things they should have never put up with. And they made fun of people saying, slippery slope. How do you like the slope now, Mega Man? Because believe me, it only gets steeper from here. Trump can't do nothing about the LA fires. Trump can invade Greenland. Trump can take back the Panama Canal. Trump can force countries everywhere to make deals with him, and if you give him the magical power, he'll clean up the forest floor. But right now, he probably can't do nothing about the fires in LA. Probably. And we can blame Gavin Newsom. We can blame Biden. We can blame Kamala Harris. We can blame Janet Yellen. You know, part of the can't do and the miracles is also the blame storming that's always in Washington, D.C. And you're going to have lots of people to blame for the little time I think that we have left. Maybe it's 6 months. Maybe it's 9 months. If it's a year, like I said, folks, if it's a year, then I definitely have to toss Grinkin' time out the window. I just don't think it's going to be. It is Friday, January the 24th. 2025 Bo Blimp Doc. The world is still spinning, people are still sinning, and you now have an orange king. But I have a young sprite. I have a raven-haired beauty. She's out there in the darkness, cleaning off her 357. She's getting ready. She went to the thrift shop. She bought some ordinary clothes to look like an ordinary girl. She's patient. She'll wait about 90 days. And then sometime in the springtime, if that's a thing, with lots of bling for everybody, she'll go someplace in Seattle, maybe a bank along Aurora. Maybe she'll go as far north as Everett. Maybe she'll go down to Tacoma and get lost down there in the jungle. But wherever you are, lady, because I'm going to call you Karma, wherever you are, Karma, I really wish I could be your mountain man lover. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.